May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, beginning with the Feast of All Saints, which we are marking today. It was officially on Thursday, but we're moving it to today for our sake. And so from the Feast of All Saints for the next few weeks until Advent, we're going to be delving into the Psalms. Some of you might remember that the Psalms are appointed in our lectionary in order to set the emotional and spiritual tone for the rest of the readings. And in light of all of the emotional tumult of this past week, since the unconscionable acts that happened at Tree of Life Synagogue, I think we can use a bit of encouraging perspective that our psalm gives us today. Psalm 24 was composed as a liturgical procession psalm. When the Ark of the Covenant was being brought by King David back to the tabernacle in Jerusalem, they sang this very psalm. Hopefully, you recall that auspicious event from our summer's Old Testament readings. The Ark, of course, was captured by the Philistines, but after being struck by a plague, they decided, well, maybe we should send it back over the border. So they did. They put it on an unmanned ox cart, and it went over back to Israel. But it took some time afterward before the Ark could finally be brought back to its final resting place in Jerusalem. After one failed attempt to do so, when Uzzah was struck dead for trying to stabilize the ark when the road was bumpy, they finally got the Levites to do the right thing and carry the ark on poles as was prescribed in the law. And so they marched this awesome symbol of God's presence back to its liturgical resting place. So when we read this psalm, we're to feel pretty excited. We're drawing water from the same jubilant spiritual well that inspired King David to dance before the ark in that procession, stripped of all of his royal finery. So the Feast of All Saints, when we commemorate our spiritual heroes, those who departed in the faith once delivered, those who have left us, the church militant, in order to join the great cloud of witnesses, the church triumphant, we are being egged on by Psalm 24 with a processional vision that sees heaven come to earth, the new creation. One of the ministers at the interfaith gathering this past Sunday afternoon referenced the end of Revelation, part of which we read this evening. But she focused on the part that talked about the Tree of Life, an obvious allusion to the name of the synagogue. But within the broader context, the new creation, the new heavens and new earth, it is also reflected in our psalm as well. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and all who dwell therein. For it is he who founded it upon the seas and made it firm upon the rivers of the deep. When these words were written, they were talking about the current fallen creation. But when paired with the arrival of God's presence, symbolized in the Ark of the Covenant, the temporal begins to shine with the glory of the eternal. The sorrowful, straining, sinful creation of today begins to glow with the promise of a new day when tears are wiped away, struggles no longer seem fruitless, and wickedness is washed away forever. This is the resurrection reality that we look forward to. And those who have died in faith have a greater taste of that than we do, but still not yet fully appreciated until Christ returns and we are all risen with him. Not just by faith in the waters of baptism, but in eternal reality when heaven and earth are made one. It's also fascinating to consider how the psalm seems to look forward to a day when all the peoples of the earth, no matter the race, their socioeconomic standing, no matter their political or religious convictions, when they are all brought into this majestic procession of praise to our God. The only requirement is that they are part of the generation or company, as we read in another translation, of those who seek him, the one true and living God. But what about those who are supposed to have clean hands and a pure heart, Father Lenny? What of the part about not being liars, fraudsters, or hucksters? Aren't those requirements? Well, I guess it depends on whether you think that these phrases are prescriptive or descriptive. Does the psalm prescribe something? You ain't getting to be in that number with the saints marching in unless you check these boxes. Or does it describe something? These are the kinds of people that you'll find in this procession of praise. Considering that this psalm is not a legal pronouncement stipulating a covenantal requirement, but a celebratory song of rejoicing, I tend to think that these are descriptive phrases. The people that you'll find in this band of brothers and sisters are those who seek God, who have made themselves clean in the sight of God, who have not represented falsely about their faith, not trying to say the creed with their fingers crossed, so to speak. So we look forward in this psalm to a new creation that transforms this broken world, one where sin and devastation and death are no more. We look forward to being part of that grand company of the faithful, perhaps surprising us who is actually there, according to our current prejudices, but certainly representative of everyone on planet Earth. But most importantly, we look forward to an uninhibited presence of God who loves us with an everlasting love. When the Queen of England is invited to come and address Parliament, she must knock on the door before they let her enter into the halls of Parliament. Of course, it's a highly scripted, very ceremonial thing today. But the thought is that Parliament represents the people, and the Crown just can't barge in willy-nilly without being invited. But if the earth is the Lord's, and the tabernacle is God's rightful sanctuary in Psalm 24, then why does it seem that God has to knock on the door to let him in? Well, in the recent conflict before this psalm was written, David had just taken back possession of Jerusalem from the Jebusites. And the Jebusites were quite indignant before then not to submit to David as king and not to allow their pagan ways to be displaced. So when David liberates Jerusalem and reestablishes the old city of Salem, the city of peace, as the central place for the worship of the Lord, a knock on the door from him to come in was deeply meaningful. It wasn't simply God marching in as a conqueror, the Lord of hosts, but God being welcomed back home with open arms and willing hearts. The same image we see echoed in Christ's invitation as he comes near to us in the beginning of the Revelation, where he stands at the door and knocks. awaiting us to welcome him in fully as our Lord, at the center of our lives, not simply as someone who came and overthrew us reluctantly. So, a renewed creation, a renewed people, and a renewed focus on the triune God at the center of our worship. That's what Psalm 24 brings to the table to inspire us today. We can look forward to with a sure hope to a new heavens and new earth when we remember loved ones today who have died in faith. We can rejoice over the chance someday to hobnob and meet with our fellow heroes of the faith who've inspired us when we join that great company of the faithful. But most importantly, we can look forward to increasing depth of communion with God as we welcome him into our hearts now and when he welcomes us into his consummated kingdom in eternity. Our mourning today will not last forever, nor will the wicked acts of evil people, nor will the daily life that we experience now be a chore for eternity, nor will our anxieties rule the day when Christ's kingship is finally acknowledged by all. We can read, reflect on, and sing Psalm 24 with renewed vision, renewed hope, and renewed openness to the triune God who loves us and won the victory that we never could over sin and death. Hallelujah. So, let us welcome this King of Glory as we sing, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in. Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in. Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.